You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the quick blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. Hi, this is your host, Dave Hodges, and we are coming to you live as we do every Sunday evening at this time, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast. Well, before we launch into tonight, we have a really important announcement. A lot of you have been asking me, Dave, when are you going to get that app ready? When's it going to be done? Well, it's done. All you have to do on your device, not your computer, you go to the Google Play Store, and then they have a little search area here where you can type at the top and just put in the Common Sense Show. And just follow the prompts. And there will be a prompt in there to pay. It's free. So just hit the skip button. We would never make you pay for something like this, but they'll try to get your money. But it is a free app. So click the skip button, and there will be. And what can you get there? Well, you can get the Common Sense Show website access, all the articles. You can get all of our archives. They're right there. And you can get us live. Get our radio show there as well, too. And we have all kinds of ways to listen to the show, and we'll pass them along as we go through the evening. But the app is really going to be a great advantage and boon to us, and we're really glad we can bring it to you. Before we start tonight, let me just mention that this show is made possible from some very, very generous sponsors. And the first one, Steve Quayle, no stranger to anybody here who listens to this show. No one who is following the good work that goes on in the independent media, everyone knows who Steve is. And he's trustworthy. I call him the kind of the godfather of our movement. In many ways, people look up to him as a pillar of information. He has one of the best websites, if not the best website out there. And he is bringing us a service that we really need. There's a lot of noise out there now about an economic collapse. What do you think is going to happen to your money? Exactly. Convert your soon-to-be worthless cash to precious metals. And I recommend you call Renaissance Precious Metals tomorrow. Speak to Steve or one of his helpers, and it is absolutely a no-pressure conversation, because if he can't help you, he'll tell you. Give him a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. 406-586-4842. And with an economic collapse comes food shortages. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. The articles, the information I'm digging up on the Common Sense Show has been pretty remarkable about Hillary Clinton. She has a hand in what is going on in Venezuela with using food to manipulate the country. And we have people in Venezuela breaking into zoos, eating zoo animals. Cannibalism comes next. And if she's elected, it'll come here. You need to prepare yourself. You need to have storable home food. And I recommend you hide some of it, and don't forget to make a map. But storable home food. And the product that I use, the product I'm most satisfied with, I think the best out there is Numana Foods. And you can reach us at our website at numana.com/Hodges. That's numana.com/Hodges. And then, finally, I'd like to mention again the alternative to Facebook, Scene.life. Facebook, do I go there? Yeah, I do. Some. Because you have to do what Jesus did, and he went to where the enemy was, the non-believers, the sinners. And I feel you got to go into the lion's den and spread the truth. So, but I do go to Facebook a little bit, but I spend the bulk of my time on Scene.life. They take no information from you. They'll never make you mail your driver's license in, like I've heard they made some people do. It's absolutely incredible what they do. And, of course, their New World Order agenda, their connections with the NSA are notorious, to say the least. And then finally, in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Bob Griswold, Prepper Deluxe. And there's so much going on right now. Bob and I are going to be having a conversation about how to survive the first few days when everything goes down. And folks, if Donald Trump, and I'm looking at a poll right here that is a non-biased poll. It was done systematically with 33% Republicans, 33% Democrats, 34% Independents. And Donald Trump is ahead 67% to 19%. The rest are undecided. If those numbers are really the real numbers, I don't think any amount of voter fraud is going to overcome that. And this is why I look for the other side, as we've talked about on this show with previous guests like Mike Adams. I think they're going to collapse the economy right then. There will be no election. You better get ready. And Bob and I are going to be talking about that, and we'll be talking about his products, his prepper products you can get at readymaderesources.com. And I have a special surprise for you. It's kind of bittersweet. The sweet part is we have Joe Hagman with us. And Joe has always been a terrific guest and a really good contributor to the show. And he's one half of one of the best, if not the best, radio show out there, the Hagman and Hagman Report. Joe agreed to a late-minute fill-in because he is so generous and so considerate with his time. And he's filling in for Josh Coy, who would love to be here. Absolutely love to be here. And I've asked everyone to keep Josh in your prayers. I spoke with Josh yesterday. He's back in ICU. You know, we are hoping for a good outcome. He's waiting for some restorative medical service. And I would pray for the best outcome for Josh, and I would ask you to join me in that. But nonetheless, we've got Joe Hagman here to join us, and we've got a lot to talk about because I think the Hagman and Hagman Report this week was, each show was stellar, and I think that they turned this country and its listening audience on its ear with the revelations they made. Hey, Joe, thanks for joining us on such late notice. It's always such a privilege to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. And you're right, there sure is a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of stuff happening over this weekend, and concerning to many, as we see now the National Guard being called into Milwaukee where riots broke out last night.
Mm-hmm.
This on top of the other things that are going on, the Hillary Clinton email scandal and the continuous revelations from WikiLeaks and email dumps that paint a picture of what was going on in the State Department under Hillary Clinton's watch. And we look now and we see she's the, you read those poll numbers. The media has been keeping her up, propping her up, like people do at some of her rallies for her to stay on her feet. And have painted the picture as an illusion that, there is this massive Hillary Clinton lead in the polls when that does not seem even close to real when you look at the size of the rallies and the attendance of the rallies for either candidate in the last few weeks. But the poll you just read does reflect what we are seeing. And it's gotten so bad that the Clinton campaign themselves actually photoshopped a few crowd pictures to make them look like there were more people there than there was.
Oh, absolutely. She couldn't even fill a high school gym 2 days ago. It's interesting because after we went to church last night, we have an outdoor dining area there at our church, and my son was on the net, as he often is, and he pulled up this clip, Joe, and I almost spit out my food. The crowd at a Trump rally was chanting, "Lock her up. Lock her up," by the thousands. And I'm eating my healthy food, Katie, and he's playing this, and I just lost it. No one but hardcore welfare, military, industrial complex people, Wall Street bankers, and there are not many of these people. And the ignorant and the people who think that you should drink Gatorade because it looks like some kind of industrial fluid, and that's the reasoning you have why you'd vote for Hillary, because she's a woman. I mean, you look at this, Joe, who in their right mind could support a sociopathic serial criminal like this?
Well, it's a great question, and one that we've been trying to figure out ourselves. You know, it seems that the majority of the people tend to either not pay attention to the information, or they are not believing, you know, the what's come up about Hillary Clinton, or they don't care. And we saw a poll before she was given the nomination that read something like 71% of people would still vote for her if she was indicted while running for president of the United States. So I would say that it's the majority are uninformed willingly, and you know, those that want this globalist New World Order takeover to continue. And my question is, why would the media continue to prop her up in the polls? Why would they invent, you know, and skew the polls in her favor so often if they didn't have a plan to back it up at the voting booth?
Exactly.
They're conditioning us. Something else going on.
No, I think they're conditioning us, Joe, because when they do try to steal the election, I mean, I'm sure you're aware of that Stanford study that I wrote about a couple of weeks ago that analyzed the Democratic primary and the voting machines and the two manufacturers who make them donate to the Clinton Foundation. They skewed the results by 10% over the exit polls, where you didn't get that with paper ballots. I mean, they're trying to condition us that they're going to steal the election, and they're hoping we won't notice.
Yeah, well, it's going to be kind of hard not to notice this time around, especially with the support that Trump is getting. Even here in our town in Erie, Pennsylvania, Trump came here Friday when he drew a crowd of 8,600, I believe was that was the capacity. And I don't see anybody in Erie ever going, you know, 8,600 strong to any event. So I was kind of surprised by that. And he's getting that support here in small towns, and he's getting the support in big towns, filling up, you know, stadiums and whatnot. So much so that a few weeks back, there were stories of the fire marshal, the one Hillary Clinton guy, shutting a 6,000 Able theater down, only letting 1,000 supporters get in. So I do believe that they are going to continue to prop up Hillary Clinton, regardless of her criminal history, and we're still finding out about that, regardless of her mental illness, because if you think about it, what better person would they want in there than somebody that they can, you know, just have total control, not only over the office of the presidency, but of the agenda that is run through the office of the presidency. And with Clinton, I believe she is a criminal. She has ties to the most nefarious globalist and you know, eugenics people on the planet, and she's trying to do her part for them, for evil. And we are seeing this unfold in our day and age, right in this presidential election in this country. Now, if Donald Trump wins, that doesn't mean that, you know, things aren't going to be bad and he's going to be some kind of a savior politician. We have to get out of that mindset. But we know what we're getting with Hillary Clinton, and none of it's good. So the question is, you know, from here, we have to decide, you know, what we're going to do at a local level, and each individual person, to turn this country around, while putting somebody in leadership, in a leadership position, that's at least trying to do the same.
Well, you're right. Well, one of the things that we've done here at the Common Sense Show is I've gone to 2 to 3 podcast per day, and they're minis. So they're little minis. They're on YouTube, and you can hook into them from our main website at thecommonsenseshow.com. And what I've tried to do, Joe, is I'd say 80% have a Clinton twist. They're not just about Clinton, but their issues, and then I show, well, this is how Clinton will approach this issue, or sometimes they are about her. And I'm trying to flood the airwaves, and you raise an interesting point. What are we going to do at the local level? And one of the things that I've been closing these podcasts with is that, okay, we know this, we know that, but we're preaching to the choir. We need to become missionaries of the truth. And if every person in who's connected in some way to the independent media, whether you be a talk show host, a writer, or just a listener, or a reader, a consumer, we need to all convince 5 other people about Hillary Clinton's criminality. And they don't like Trump, that's fine. Don't go down that road with them. Don't argue with them. Attack Clinton to make Trump the lesser of two evils, because some people will never change their mind. But, Joe, if we don't do that, My fear is if the numbers aren't 80 to 20 or 70 to 30, they're going to steal this election.
That's the way it looks. And you mentioned, you know, you talked about the economy in Venezuela, what things that are going on across the world. Venezuela has been, as a socialist government that has really dried the country out of all food to the point where you just mentioned, and I had not heard this, two things you mentioned I hadn't heard. One, that they are, you know, going to zoos and killing animals for food. I've heard that they were going to, you know, breaking into Brazil and other countries and bringing food back, that there was food riots locally in Venezuela. And then secondly, that Hillary Clinton had a hand in this as well. That's new to me also. But, you know, Venezuela, people need to take a close look at what's going on there, because this could be our future in the not-too-distant future, especially with a Hillary Clinton presidency. But what my point was going to be is that the economy is very fragile, and people need to ignore the Dow Jones at all-time highs, because when you look at the core of wealth generation here in this country, it's through jobs and manufacturing and, you know, American ingenuity and entrepreneurship. And we're seeing these numbers from the manufacturing sector to jobs are at all-time lows. You have poverty at all-time highs, historically. And you have inflation, runaway inflation, that's not too far off. We're seeing stress tests being done on international markets, like in Deutsche Bank in Germany had a stress test done where they said it would fail with one, you know, hiccup or problem with the markets, that too big to fail is not true. Not true for big banks, not true for big nations. And we need to be aware that this is a possibility with the next president that we get, that we have this run on food.
I think it could happen sooner.
Yeah, it could be.
Joe, I think
it's always right around the corner.
I think if these numbers I'm reading in this poll, 67 to 19, with a fair randomized sample, unlike what you're seeing in these other polls, they have a margin of error, which you're not seeing in a lot of these other polls, which means they're not statistically valid. I think they could take the economy down if they think Trump could win and they can't overcome that. And you mentioned Venezuela on top of the comment I made. I'm going to add one more thing in there. Venezuela has two things going on. Extreme hunger despite great oil reserves, tremendous starvation. People are dying there. And I'm sure cannibalism is being practiced. That's just not got out yet. But the other thing that they're doing, and this made, and I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago, they have slave labor. They're coming to conscript people to go work in the fields. And that's Executive Order 13603, circa Obama 2011. Joe, I think they could be beta testing Executive Order 13603 to gauge the population's response before they do it to us.
Yeah, they absolutely could. And if you look at the, like you said, the history of Venezuela, the oil-rich nation that was, its top export was oil, and then they had a good farming industry. There was a change in style of government, and the leader brought in a socialist-type government. But we also saw a disarmament happen in Venezuela, and I'm trying to get the... I'm searching for it now because I can't find the link ahead of my computer, but they took the guns away. It wasn't too far in the past that they took the disarmed the population. And that's one difference we have here in America, and I don't know that it would make all that much difference. But Venezuela has been set up to be what it has turned into. And is it a beta test? It very well could be. And it's unfortunate to see this happen anywhere, but it's happening more often and more frequently in different nations. And as you said, I mean, it is coming to America. It's on the doorstep, and it's all going to come crashing down. And from the stock market to, you know, the benefits that people receive from the government, nothing will be there to help anybody. There will be no safety nets. And no bailouts for the big companies,
yeah.
Right? No pensions for the working class. The middle class is being gutted constantly, and it it's almost like there's no middle class left. And this was the intention. As you see, the number of billionaires continues to rise, as well as the number of the poorest of the poor. And the middle class is lost in between. And we did a show not a few months ago with Josh Tully. He wrote a book, Evangelpreneur. And I like this one part of the book. He goes through, what is poverty in the United States? Well, he goes through, you know, you pay your rent, you get your groceries, a car payment, health insurance. And he put the poverty line at the United States about $70,000. Just above that, to stay above poverty. And you can, he said, you can have all these things if you make that much with a family. And it was kind of interesting because you see those numbers, or you hear those numbers, and you think, well, that's a lot of money to make a year. But when you see the prices of everything, housing and renting prices, or renting prices are continuing to rise, food, as well as energy, those prices are continuing to rise, except for the fluctuation in the gas that we've seen. But all that's going to be coming to a halt with trade. As trade continues to decline here in the U.S., the trade deficit will continue to rise, and it's at all-time highs right now. I think in the triple-digit billions, 800-some billion trade deficit. So it's not too, I mean, this is not some fairy tale we're talking about. This really could happen with a few bad days, you know, in the stock market, and a few bad decisions from politicians not to correct it. We're already on that course. So we have to understand this next presidential vote is very important.
It's critically important, and that's why I keep going back to, people get really upset with me when I say they're not going to let Trump assume the presidency. I don't see how they can, because even if he can't enact what he wants to do, he can enact gridlock and stop a lot of what's going on. And Joe, I have such a trepidation for the next 3 months. I've never felt like I do now. Something big is about to happen. I think your dad said this too this week. Something is terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And if I was to make a prediction about what's coming, well, first of all, I believe this. False flag, martial law to get us all subjugated under control, World War III for depopulation purposes. That's a scenario that I've been adhering to for the last 5 years. And I think that what we're seeing here is evidence of both things going on at the same time. And I think what they're going to do to make us mad enough to go to war is a cyber attack upon the banks, upon Wall Street, take it down. They'll blame the Russians, the Chinese. We'll have martial law, we'll have FEMA camps, we'll have purges, and then we're going to go after those so-and-sos that did this to us in World War III. If you were to ask me to write the ending, that's what I would be putting. How does that match with what you think?
Well, I mean, there is a couple different ways that this could happen. You know, people have been looking for, and for good reason, because historically this is how it happens. You know, there is some kind of false flag. As well, you know, I guess if there's any time to say it, now would be the time. I mean, I read a lot on the internet, from articles to people's comments to different blogs and opinions, and you know, you see some crazy stuff on there. Aside from all the racism and the hate that usually fills comment boards, but you know, you get to read people's thoughts when they actually take the time to do a good comment or give some insight on a story or whatever the subject is. And it seems that the consensus is there will be some kind of false flag, whether it's natural disaster or man-made, that will get this disaster to a point where it can be declared martial law. People need to understand that martial law can be declared for not only a nationwide disaster, but a localized disaster. Even the flooding we see in Louisiana now, a 9/11 style event that, let's say, just happens in New York. Under executive orders, they have the power to call for a nationwide martial law and shutdown for a localized event. So, I mean, the laws are there. The legislation's passed. It's already on. Everything's on the books. All they need is the right situation. And with the things and the turmoil and the way we see the world moving right now, and this increase of violence and hostility that comes with it, it looks like it won't take much to set that off.
No. I mean, it's a powder keg that's been lit, and it's just a matter of time. And, you know, and these sparks are flying around like Milwaukee. I mean, why are people... Well, I know why people are writing. These are probably George Soros' people, because as I saw on the news, initially there was only about 100 people. But the guy was armed, confronted the police. You know, when you do that, you can expect to get shot. So what are people protesting? I mean, are these people really thinking that regardless of your race, you should be able to carry around a gun and threaten the police? It's crazy.
Well, that's a good question, because a few years ago, starting in from Ferguson, Missouri, till now, we've seen a narrative being pushed on TV. And sometimes the narrative is pushed whether, first of all, the white police officer on black civilians, it's been made to look like that's on the rise, on some kind of historic rise, when the crime statistics show that more white people were killed by police last year than African Americans. But what they've done in the news is they continue to not only show incidents where people are shot by police, but they're showing instances of people where armed people are shot by police, not just unarmed. And you see the backlash that you see from the community, like we have this time in Milwaukee. And I don't know how they got away with this, but I guess it doesn't matter if the person's a criminal or not, or if they're armed or not. It seems like they've done such a good job with the propaganda that the people are going to believe whatever they want or whatever is fed to them.
Yeah, where was the outrage in Dallas or in Shreveport? Where was the outrage there? It's a one-way street, and George Soros is behind every step of the way. Hey, have you seen this story that's out there? And I'd have to pull up the article to try to remember the names, but have you seen the John Kerry's daughter married into an Iranian family of which John Kerry negotiated with for the nuclear arms deal?
No, I didn't.
You guys haven't? Oh, I ran that, believe it was yesterday, and you know, I don't have it readily in front of me, so I'll talk about bad timing of bringing it up here. I'll see if I can't point to it here, but yeah, effectively, John Kerry was negotiating with his counterpart, the head of the Foreign Ministry of Iran, which is the equivalent of the Secretary of State, and it's his daughter's father-in-law.
That's amazing.
Can you believe that? It's absolutely incredible what you see here. Let me see if I can pull this up here, too. Yeah, in fact, I
have
the
man. Yeah, I mean, this continues the conflict of interest that we have so often, from Hillary Clinton receiving, you know, donations to the Clinton Foundation in the billions for different things, from uranium for Russia to deals for Saudi Arabia with weapons or other Middle Eastern countries. We've seen this kind of thing before.
Absolutely. Well, the guy who revealed this initially, and then I went digging, excuse me, and I found a little bit more, but the guy that revealed this was, boy, I'll tell you, I'm getting interference here. Todd, do you hear that? I'm getting an override here.
I hear it, too.
We're getting overridden here. Yeah. Someone's piping in a sound here. This is absolutely incredible here. Let me...
I don't hear nothing. What's it?
Yeah, I just got rid of it here.
It sounds like a radio show or someone's talking,
Well, here it is. It's coming back, and now it's someone different talking. I just love it when they do this, because it tells me I'm on the right track.
Wow.
Okay, let me...
You know, since I'm on the air, I was just thinking with the John Kerry thing, was this like a gigantic dowry? You know how they do in the Arab countries where they marry off their daughter and then they give the guy a goat and a camel and some bags of rice. Was it, here's my daughter and the United States?
Yeah, and that's a great... That's a great point here. I'm going to go in and hopefully I haven't lost the executive control to mute a sound here. And oh, by the way, that icon now is not on my desktop.
Yeah, Todd says he's not hearing it, and I'm not hearing it now, but so we're good.
Well, anyway, here we go. Now I'm getting a pancake commercial.
I do hear some in the background.
Yeah, this is absolutely incredible. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced anything like this. Here we go. I'm into my control panel, and hopefully this will kill it to the equipment. There we go. Okay, who knows? But anyway, to answer your question, Joe, boy, that was interesting timing. This is kind of like when I was bringing on Ammon Bundy, and we were going to do the first non-mainstream media interview with him. And just as we're going on the air, both of our satellites go out. The listen by phone went out. I mean, everything was gone. And these aren't accidents. Anyway, it was 2009, and Secretary of State John Kerry's daughter, Dr. Vanessa Bradford Kerry, and it's his daughter from his first marriage, married an Iranian physician named Brian Vail Nahid, but they changed his name when he came into the country. And he's connected to, and the best man of the wedding was Iran's Mohammad Javid Zarif. And I think I'm saying that correctly. And this is who John Kerry negotiated with 7 years later and gave away $150 billion and all but guaranteed that Iran will very quickly develop nuclear weapons. Yeah, I printed that article, I believe it was yesterday, Joe. I mean,
that's fascinating.
I couldn't make this stuff up. If I was going to write a Hollywood script, Gary Haven came to me and says, Dave, write something for me. I couldn't think of this stuff. This is insane.
No. Yeah, and sadly, it's not just the marriages we've seen such a change in policy with this government administration towards other governments, and Iran is one great example of this. Even against advice from other nations, and regardless of what damages that Iran can do, and Iran is one of those countries like China and Russia and Assad, Syria, and North Korea, and this is something we've talked about on our show this week, is that these are countries that seem to be, whether we like them or not, or whether our perception of them are good or not, they seem to be against this new world order globalist takeover being run by the United States and NATO. So they are painted as enemies, some for good reason, some for just that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
We need to understand that, you know, each country has their government, and then there's the citizens that are under that government. And more often than not, the citizens fall victim to the policies of the government. And we've been
just like
conditioned
we
to think this way, you know?
Yeah.
And when we go
but
to war
like
and we wipe out citizens, people don't feel bad. Yeah. But it's not the citizens that really caused anything to happen. It's the policies of that government.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, if we go to war with somebody, I vote, don't kill the civilians, go for the their equivalent of Wall Street. Bomb their central bank. You know, if we're going to go to war, that to me should be the target. Well, anyway, in the story about Kerry's daughter's marriage, the guy that broke the story initially, and he had some pretty good facts, I mean, for just getting it hot off the presses, was former Congressman Alan West. And Snopes, the defender of the crown jewels, really went after West. And I read through this, I go, oh, this is a pretty credible guy. Let me go see what I can find. It's all true. And Katie is right. It's like the old dowry where the king of this would marry the queen of that, and then you would have all these incestual interrelationships in the royal families in Europe in the Middle Ages. And it looks like this is what they're doing here. This is incredible. But by the way, I'm sure you've heard this before. John Kerry got the bulk of his campaign donations when he ran for president. A lot of them came from Tehran. He's no secret to the Iranian leadership. Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. Yeah, in fact, I've included that in the article with links, too. There's absolutely no question. And Joe, have you guys asked yourself, and your dad just had, he went off on the Muslims when I came on a show with Steve Quayle. I mean, I'd never seen your dad that upset. And I think for some good reason, because if you look at our country, what do we have? 1% Muslim population, a little over 1%. Clinton's top aide is a Muslim. Obama's top aide is a Muslim, Iranian by birth.
No, yeah,
and
the head of the CIA, you know, number two in the
Director.
DHS, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
In a disproportionate number. And I'm not trying to promote anti-Islamic feelings here, but when these people are connected to their family members, like Huma Abedin, for Hillary Clinton's top aide, her family's connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, how do you get past the security checks? Well, that's right, I forgot, James Comey, who was in charge of HSBC when they were laundering drug and terrorist money, and that money was in part going to the Clinton Foundation. We had on John Cruz recently, who told that story, and he was a senior VP at HSBC Bank when that was going on. It's crazy. Would you agree with this statement that the upper leadership in this country is dedicated to the slow and gradual downfall of the United States? That's really their mission.
Yeah, and I would add to it, and to the they're supporting instead the caliphate that is we're seeing today of these Islamic revolutionaries. And I think it's biblical, and it ties into much more of a spiritual component than many people think. It's really the you know, clash of civilizations. We see the headlines all across Europe. Just last week, I can just name a few off the top of my head: Christians in Germany fleeing, you know, with their Bibles because of, in fear of Muslims. In France, the government came out and asked the community to house the refugees. People are getting kicked out of their own homes, evicted, just so refugees can be housed. And the cost on Germany alone is going to be in the billions each year. I think it was $36 billion. And you're starting to see some pushback against Angela Merkel and her policies, but they're calling this, you know, the silent invasion of Europe.
It is absolutely insane, but we look at here. There's some, let me put this on the table, and then we'll talk numbers of Muslims. There is a social research organization called SNARC, and they do incredibly good work, S-N-A-R-C, and you can Google them, and you'll see all the good work they do. But what they tell us is that for a movement to catch on like wildfire, you have to have 10% of the population totally committed to that idea. And with the Muslims right now, they don't have that. But Hillary Clinton's on the record, Joe, of saying that when she becomes president, she'll increase Muslim immigration initially by 500%.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we've already seen happen in Germany, where they've had over a million. I mean, some people tell me they think there are 2 million Muslims that have emigrated to Germany. Now, that's what people will say. That's outside the official numbers, but I tend to believe them. And we see what's happening there. And it's going to happen here, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think irregardless of who becomes president, and I'll give an example of why. In Germany last week, I read some stories that they're not only bringing them through the front door, but, you know, between 1 and 5 a.m., these huge cargo planes are landing in airports with more refugees and Muslims coming off the planes in the, under the darkness of night. And those have been going on for some time and are not being added to the statistics being given by the government. So, for whatever reason, and we, well, I shouldn't say for whatever reason, we know the reason. Parallel to this, in the West, you see this push that nationalism is a bad thing, that somebody who wants to make America great again, we'll say, or who is just pro-America is considered to be, you know, some kind of domestic terrorist or homeland security threat because they are not on board with a globalist agenda. And, you know, this started with DHS back, you know, 10 years ago. And before
yeah,
that, where
report.
They said it was constitutionalists and it was gun owners and it was Christians and it was, you know, all these different movements. Well, now, back then, they would say, if you believe in globalization, if you believe that that there's a police state coming, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist. Now they're saying as much and saying, if you don't get behind it, then you're also part of the problem.
You know, if I can come in here, sorry. It's going along the same line, I'm reading a story right now. It says Islamic academic Migrants want Eurabia. Globalists using migrants to destroy the West. A highly regarded professor has warned that Muslim immigrants into Europe view migration. They view migration as the start of the Islamization of the continent. So it's no secret to them. Why is it such a mystery to us?
Yeah, good, great point.
I can't add to that. I mean,
they're coming right out and saying it, and we have this tremendous, massive cognitive dissonance because we have been so inoculated and so infected with politically correct that people are terrified to say anything. But they're coming right out and saying, yep, that's what we're doing. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Joe, what this speaks to is how many different fronts that we're being attacked on simultaneously. Sometimes I'll have people who are new to our movement write to me and say, Dave, I read what you say one day and you say we're under threat from this. And then next day you're saying we're under threat from that. And then the third day you're mentioning a third threat. Which one is true? And I write back to him, invariably I say, all of them and more. Just stay tuned. There's more days and more stories to come. Is there an area of her life they're not attacking?
No, not really. I mean, just from the basics, from the air we breathe, from the water we drink, to the food we eat, it has all become poisoned through genetic modification and other methods, the spraying in the air with airplanes, the chemtrails, and much more. And this is just on a basic level, and the fluoridation of water. We know now that even the FDA has come out and said fluoride is a neurotoxin, yet they still continue to fill our all the municipalities' water in our country with fluoride, or most of them, and that this erodes the brain. Now, that's some things that they've been doing subtly or covertly, I'll say, because it's not outright in your face attacking you, trying to kill you, which is what most people would prefer, rather than, you know, being underhandedly poisoned and not being able to face the enemy that's coming after you. These people are you know, using their sorcery and the pharmaceuticals to poison us and dumb us down, to raise the rates of autism and Alzheimer's and these other diseases that are becoming so prevalent in our society. And that's before, you know, before we even walk out the door, let alone what they're doing to the economy, to jobs, what they're doing to, you know, the laws in this country, and moving forward from there to where we see Venezuela. It gets to a point where it's going to get like that, or there's going to be a big calamity before that happens. But regardless, they're working multiple avenues for the purposes of bringing about their one-world satanic government, and they'll stop at nothing to get it. So if plan A, B, C, and D fail, they have, you know, the next three lined up.
One of the things that when we did our show, and I remember you were ill that night, but when Steve Quayle and I came on the Hagman and Hagman Report, we discussed at some length what former insiders to Clinton and outsiders with knowledge are saying about her allegiance to Satan through witchcraft. Would you comment on that?
Absolutely. One of the emails that was leaked from her private server showed herself, Hillary, saying something along the following, where she said, I'm going to grab my rabbit's foot and go sacrifice a chicken to Moloch in my backyard. Now, this is what Hillary Clinton said in her emails. Now, if you go and you understand what Moloch is, it's a, I don't even know what you call it, a little g god, a demigod, a demon that these people worship to and they sacrifice children to. And it's representative as a big owl sometimes. And folks, if you just do a keyword search on Moloch, you can find what the Bible says. And it, none of it is good. It's all intermingled with idolatry and Satanism and demon worship. And also, Hillary Clinton, it's come out that she used to summon the spirit of, was it Eleanor Roosevelt?
For, yeah, it was
decorating
Eleanor Roosevelt.
And other ideas while she was in the White House. This lady is an admitted witch from her own words, And even people like Larry Nichols, who was a part of their political team back in Arkansas, have come out and spilled the beans on this even more and explained that, yes, she is a witch. She fly out to California every month to partake in this, you know, group of witches, this coven. And it's not even really a secret, folks. You can find Bill Clinton admitting that she summoned spirits while she was at the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
So I wouldn't dismiss it before doing the research to look into it.
Well, unfortunately, there are people that will dismiss it because of their cognitive dissonance. But what do you... You know, I'm sitting here in church last night, and the pastor says something in a sidebar reference to the election, and he said, well, you should be concerned about this election. We don't have very good choices. And I'm thinking to myself, this is where I really wanted to stand up and yell out, yeah, we do. One of them is a witch, and one of them isn't. One of them serves Satan, and the other has followed the money. Who would you rather be under? Yeah, it's incredible how people just don't, they don't want to know, they don't see this. It's just, it's crazy, Joe.
No, not
can you imagine?
Until it's too late. And that's sadly how, you know, I learn sometimes too. And it's unfortunate because it's the toughest and hardest way to learn. But it won't be, I mean, until, you know, you have a boot kicking in your door or you've already been detained and your family killed or, you know, vice versa before people start to realize what's going on or there's no food on the shelves or money in the banks or jobs to go to. It won't be till the danger is clear and present and in your face until they realize that they were wrong.
If there is an election and Hillary assumes office and there's widespread discontent because the people will know they've been had and the election was stolen, what do you think Hillary Clinton would do to restore order to her liking?
You know, it's an interesting question. And for whatever reason, I cannot picture her as the commander-in-chief of this country. But I wouldn't put it past her. I mean, obviously restoring order in any situation, whether it's man-made or a natural disaster, is the first thing that you want to do, because until order is restored, you cannot continue to function as a society. It's just, I mean, it'd be like the Wild West. So, you know, I don't think there's any links. I mean, the government has been preparing this for this for a while with agencies like FEMA, Department of Homeland Security. They have created their own civilian or federalized police force, if you will, inside the ranks of the government. They do have FEMA camps and fusion centers, and folks can go online and read about those as well. So, like the laws and legislation, everything is in place ready to go. They just need the right event, right situation, right crisis to put their plan in motion to take it to the next step.
I agree. I often think about, and people will ask me, Dave, what do you think it's going to be? You think it's going to be an EMP, a nuke that takes out a couple of cities simultaneously? You know, I throw my hands up and say I don't have a crystal ball. But Joe, my gut tells me after the false flag events that take this country down, she's going to use food and water. That's my feeling.
Any person that is in line with this evil agenda, they have the same playbook, and that's exactly what they're going to do. And if it were a cyber economic attack or an event like an EMP, I can think of I can't think of a better situation for them to carry out what they want to do. And we know that, you know, the electrical grid that we have in this country would only have taken $2 billion to rewire everything to fix it and to prepare for that EMP attack. They never took those suggestions or never took the ideas of how to fix this and put them into motion so that this wouldn't be a problem down the line. and they've had many, many years to do so. I think my father and I went to the EMP conference way back in 07 or 2006, something like that, where they talked about, you know, the what our power system is like and what could happen and how little money it would take to fix it. And the economy, money, food, water, and they control it all. And if they have can find ways to take that away from American people en masse all at once, that would be the simplest thing, because you don't want a bunch of people out there, you know, with full bellies and with means to continue. You want them to be paralyzed if you're going to attack. So what you would do is you would paralyze them and then attack for, you know, or going for the kill shot to make sure that you got it right. And people, if they're too busy worrying about their day-to-day survival, won't be able to fend off an invading army, let alone an advanced, technologically advanced government.
No, they practiced for this back in 2011. Do you remember Operation Mountain Guardian in Denver?
Yeah, was this when they let the... It was the joint operations between Russia and the United States, and they had the mock invasion of their headquarters.
Well, that was the preliminary part. Yeah, that was part of the drill. The part of the drill that I'm referencing, and you're absolutely right, because that was they actually pretended to have an underground CIA facility, which is not pretend, underneath Denver International Airport, and the Russians attacked it. The part I'm referring to is when FEMA showed up at the Denver elementary schools, not all of them, but many of them, and they took these kids without parent permission to Sports Authority Field where the Broncos play. And I remember Aaron Dykes was actually interviewing a lady who played the role. She was a crisis actor playing the role of a parent frantically trying to get their kid back. Well, they didn't need to have the crisis actors by about noon, because when mom or dad showed up to take their kid to their dental appointment and those kids weren't in school, well, where are they? You know, if you take your kid out of school today, you need 9 times forms, signatures. You have to have almost an act of God to get your kid out of school during the school day. And yet FEMA just waltzed right up and took them. And these parents assailed Sports Authority Field, big confrontation. It made the local media in Denver, and Katie, I don't know how much you remember that from 4 years ago, but it did not make the national media. I wrote about it extensively, but Joe, here's my point. I believe that experiment, they did the same thing at Giant Stadium in New York in the same time frame, I think a month later, but I think that experiment was, how do we get people to come to FEMA camp? Well, one, they know they'll come for their kids, so we just take them out of school. Say it's an emergency and we're protecting them, and number two, just create a food shortage and you'll get people to cross the line to get the food.
Yeah. And folks, if you, like we were talking about Venezuela, I think Venezuela, I don't even think we should look at this as an example of what our nation would look like without food. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, but if you think about the psychology of our country, the people in our country, the smallest inconvenience sometimes, you know, we see these incidents of road rage and other violence that happens for no apparent reason other than a small inconvenience turned into rage. Just imagine, you know, 150 million people that instantly become poor and foodless and are on a survival type mentality, and just think of the craziness that would bring out in people having some kind of unrest. In Venezuela, as crazy as it has gotten over there, this problem has been long going. It's been going on for many months now, and there is still civility and peace there. I don't think we'd see that here. And that's something that I think about also, and obviously we are armed, and the way that the media has been, how effective they've been with our public in just the last year, it's unbelievable. We see them twist stories that are wholeheartedly false knowingly and make something of them on the news to the point where whatever they're covering gets the support. And one example is the shootings of African Americans across the country. It's to the point now where it doesn't matter if a guy is coming at the cop shooting and then gets shot in return, the people's automatic reaction is to protest with violence and anger because of the injustice. But there is no injustice. And the media, it doesn't even have to spin the story that way anymore. And we see this reaction. And how long, and we've seen it in little spurts across the country, but how long until you don't need that shooting to happen before you see this anger, rage, and violence start to fester up in parts of the country near you?
Well, just another example of, you know, conditioning people for the worst. And, you know, what is 100 years or so of civil rights work going down the tubes? But one more example here about how they're trying to take down America. You know, what they don't want is they don't want black and white and brown and yellow and whatever color to band together against the criminal elite that are destroying this country. This is why they do divide and conquer. This is gay versus straight, you know, Jews versus Christians, Muslims versus anybody. This is why they promote the divide and conquer.
Yep. And, unity is something they can't have in a population. That's why they have the two-party systems. That's why they have sporting events. That's why they, the tribalism mentality. They use that. They use, even in cities, you see, you know, different neighborhoods or high schools or whatever it is. There's always a division amongst people. Whether it's, you know, an actual something you need to be aware of, or if it's just there superficially, like Democrat, Republican, we know that our system has been set up just for this purpose, in order to make people be divided against each other inherently and basically from birth.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and we have taken this right up until the end. Joe, we got just enough time where you can tell people how to listen to you here on Global Star Radio Network.
Thanks, Dave. Folks, go to HagmanandHagman.com. That's the site for our radio show, and HagmanReport.com. You can get news and information there. We're live each and every weekday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Global Star Radio Network. Also live video on YouTube.
That's right. You guys have a huge YouTube presence now. Congratulations. I mean, that's just tremendous. And I'm a frequent visitor up there, and I got to figure out some of the technology you're doing so I can copy it here. It's light years beyond what I'm able to do. Of course,
well,
I depend on child labor. But, Joe, you've been a terrific guest, and again, you have my sincere thanks and appreciation for coming on late notice in the event, you know, here that Josh Coy has fallen gravely ill again. But it's been great to have you on, and we're going to continue to have it on as events warrant. Thanks for joining us. Everybody else, we're going into our top-of-the-hour break, and we come back, we'll be joined by Bob Griswold, and we'll be into hour number two.